covered by your hand, Lord. We're covered by your blood. And this morning, Lord God, as we're here in this house, Lord, I know there are things that we're facing, Lord God, things that we're going through. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would just shield us and that you would protect us. Lord God, that you would keep us in this time, but Lord God, not just in this time, not just in this day, but Lord God, throughout our lives, Lord God, as we yield ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord God, that the song that we sang is not just it is a beautiful song, but Lord God, there's truth in that. And Lord, I pray that we would take that and let that be our testimony, Lord God, that you have covered us, that you have kept us, Lord God, in the midst of a dry and thirsty land, Lord God. Here we are, Lord God, in the palm of your hands, Lord God, in your hand, covered by your blood. Lord God, we thank you for that. Lord, no place we'd rather be, Lord God, than in your presence, you covering us and you keeping us, Lord God. So I pray that you do that today as we give ourselves to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is good. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team, for leading us again today. Thankful for presence of the Lord. Amen. How many thankful to be able to be in church today? I was just thinking, I was looking at the calendar this morning, and I was thinking, a year ago, we still weren't able to meet together, right? I think it was around the 1st of May or middle of May when we reconvened. I'm thankful that in this year that we're able to meet, amen, and thankful for God's house, and thank you all for being part of our service today. Thank you all for being here. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. I've not been in the pulpit for about 3 weeks, so hold on, all right? Someone asked me if I had three weeks worth of message, and we'll see, all right? But thankful, you know, I'm thankful that no matter who's in the pulpit or who is speaking, ultimately it's the Lord that's speaking, amen? And I'm thankful over the last couple of weeks we've had different forms of message, but it's the same God speaking, amen? And we thank the Lord for that. But I am glad to be able to share this morning. How many of us have ever been desperate before? Ever been desperate for something? Again, I was thinking last year, it seemed like at this time everybody was desperate for toilet paper. Y'all remember that? I remember the first time I went into Sam's before I really knew what was going on. I went to get some toilet paper for the church, and they said, "It's all gone." I said, "What do you mean it's all gone?" I said, "It's all gone." And I said, and this is what I told the person. I said, "Someone must have been really desperate for toilet paper." And little did I know, we all would be in a little while. But most of you know I work at Hobby Lobby outside of here. And just this week, I encountered an individual. And I get asked all kinds of questions. But I said, I'm in desperate need. And I was like, there ain't a thing in this store that you'd be, that you'd be desperate for, all right? He said a couple times, he said, I'm in desperate need. I said, well, what are you in need of today? And he said, I'm in desperate need of, this is what he said. He said, steampunk gears. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, sir. And I tried to get other people to help, and nobody knew what he's talking about. But I guess we didn't have it. I guess it wasn't something that we carry. But I was thinking about that. You know, sometimes we make this statement, I desperately need something. I want to think about what is it we desperately need. Can we do an exercise just real fast? Anybody like to exercise? I'm not going to make us get up. I want you to just hold your breath for a minute. All right? On the count of three, we're going to hold our breath. All right? One, two, three. I couldn't do it any longer, but keep on holding it out if you can. One of my daughters told me, was it Jordan or was it Aaron that said how long they held their breath the other day? I think it was Jordan. Said she held her breath for a minute and 30 seconds. And I tried it, and I got to about 25 seconds. And I was in desperate need of breath. I wanted you to do that because when we hold our breath and when we're able to breathe again, because I laughed or whatever, but it's like, thank you for that breath. How many appreciated the breath, right? Breath is something that we can't live without, right? And when it's taken away, when we hold it in, or when different things would cause us to not be able to breathe, we appreciate the fact that we have air. I want to say this morning, there's something greater that we can't live without, that we are in desperate need of. Amen? And that's Jesus. And I've entitled our message this morning, Desperate Times Call for Desperate Measures. And maybe you're not in a place today where you have a where you would consider yourself desperate for anything, but I want to encourage us to know this, that we are. What is it? We're in desperate need of Jesus. And I want to read in Mark chapter 5. You can read this account in Matthew chapter 9. Also, you can read this account in Luke chapter 8. But we're going to be reading from Mark's Gospel this morning. Mark chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 24 and read through the 34th verse, all right? Mark chapter 5, I'm going to be reading from just a different translation this morning. I think the King James will be up on the screen behind us, so if you want to follow along there. Reads this, it says, Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. So when she came up behind through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? And his disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Amen. This lady, the King James referred to her condition as an issue of blood, right? And I was reading that this week, and I was thinking, you know, how many of us have issues? We all do, right? And I was thinking about the issues that we have. You know, sometimes the issues that we face are a result of things that we open ourselves up to. I believe it's in Proverbs that it tells us that we need to guard our heart because out of it flows all the, King James says, the issues of life, right? And so sometimes we open ourselves up to some things and stuff happens and we have some issues. There are times when we have issues that are not of our own making, not of our own choosing. Nothing that we've done, life just happens sometimes, right? But I'm thankful that whether it's things that we've opened ourselves up to or things that have come against us, we serve the same God who can deliver us the same, amen? That he can deliver us from those issues. Here, this lady, had this issue of blood. And I want to, this morning, whatever it is that would be an issue in your life, I want you to know this morning that there is an answer, all right? But I want us to think about what we do when we're faced with these issues. What do we do? It says here that this lady had suffered with it, what does it say, for how long? For 12 years, right? And she didn't just live with it. She had tried, right? She had tried to have that taken care of. In verse 26, it said she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but in fact, she grew worse. So I want you to think about the issues that you have. And sometimes, you know, it's not as bad as someone else, but you know what? We all have stuff. We need the Lord's help. Amen. The issues that we have, where are we going to have solution? I'm thankful for the song that we sang this morning. It says, as a reminder, where could I go but to the Lord? But you know, a lot of times we go a lot of places and we try a lot of things, and I'm not knocking those things per se, but what if, church, what if we went to Jesus first? What if we saw Him first? You know what? And I believe that as we seek Him, He may give us other avenues. He may give us direction that, hey, you need to do this. You need to go here. But let us go to Him. But I want you to think about it in your own life. Is what I'm currently doing making my issue better or worse? What I'm currently doing, am I getting better or worse? Here, it said this lady had this issue and said she had it for 12 years, but didn't tell us how long she'd been going to the physicians. But it says that she wasn't getting better, was she? But what was happening? She was getting worse. And you know what? I've encountered some people that understand that, you know, I need help and I need deliverance. I need restoration. I need healing. And have tried, and they desire that to be free from that, but they have not been. Why? Because they have gone to the wrong place. They have gone to the wrong source. Amen. I want to say this morning, let us go to Jesus. Is what I'm currently doing working? In this lady's case, it wasn't working. In fact, it was doing just the opposite. It was causing things to get worse. I want you to take note of verse 27. What changed? What changed in this lady's life? Verse 27, King James says, when she heard of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus. I know all of us here this morning, or probably most of us here this morning, know who Jesus is. But you know, there's a world outside of these walls that I'm amazed. There are people who really don't know much about Jesus. And that's the church's job to declare and to tell people who Jesus is, right? When she heard of Jesus, what did she do? She came to Him. It says she came. It says there was a crowd of people, right? She came to Him in the press behind, and she touched His garment. And I thought about this. She heard of Jesus, but what did she have to do? She knew that she needed to get to Jesus. Amen. Jesus was in the area, but she needed to touch the hem of His garment, right? What obstacles did she face in getting to Jesus that day? What were some obstacles? There was a big crowd, right? There was a crowd of people. How many of you ever been in a crowd of people and didn't want to fight the crowd? You ever been there? I'm in that at Hobby Lobby sometimes. I don't want to fight the crowd. You know, I was thinking, and I've shared this testimony many times, but when the Lord was dealing with me to give my heart to Him, I grew up here in this church and knew the right things to say. I knew how to act the part, but I wasn't a day-by-day follower of Jesus. And the Lord had been dealing with me for quite some time to do that. And I think I shared with y'all before that on a Sunday morning, I was convicted. My heart was pounding, and I knew I needed to respond, and I didn't because I was sitting in the middle of a pew, and I didn't want to bother anybody. I didn't want to have to say, excuse me. I didn't want to have to inconvenience anybody to get out and to come forward, and so I didn't. That afternoon, I was in my room at my house, and man, I was like, I should have responded. Had I known then what I know now, I should have just responded to the Lord right there in my bedroom, but for some reason, I felt like I needed to do it here, and so I promised the Lord that afternoon that if He would give me another opportunity, if He would knock on my heart's door, if he would speak to me, that I would respond. And silly me, guess what? I sat in the same place. You think I would have learned a little bit, right? Sat on the end of the row, but I sat right in the middle again. And sure enough, and I remember Brother Richard was preaching. I don't remember what he was preaching about, but I was waiting for the time when the altar invitation was given because I was ready to give my heart to Jesus. And I was like, oh, people around me again. And I almost didn't do it again because I shared this with them. Don and Shelly were sitting right next to me. I said, I don't want to run over Don. I don't want to run over Shelly. I don't want to inconvenience them. A statement was made. I remember Brother Richard made the statement, said, what if this was your last chance? And when he said that, and I don't really recall what happened other than I got from there to here pretty quick. And I think I've I don't apologize, but if I hurt them, if I ran over somebody, I'm sorry I hurt you, but I knew I needed to respond. Amen. I wasn't going to let anything get between me and Jesus. Why? Because I was desperate. Amen. In this passage, this lady was desperate, and there was a great crowd. And you know, sometimes we allow other things to keep us from getting to Jesus. But when we're desperate, when we're faced with, and this is what I was faced with, what if it was my last chance? Was it? Probably not. But could it have been? Absolutely. And when I was faced with that, it didn't matter who was around me. It didn't matter anything else. I needed to get my heart right with Jesus. I was desperate. And I wasn't going to allow anything to keep me from Jesus. What is this morning keeping you from getting to Jesus? Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it may be uncertainty. It may be lots of different emotions that we have. But I want to ask you this question this morning. Am I willing to push through whatever it is that's keeping me from Jesus? I want to give you this testimony too. That's the best decision that I ever made. And can I tell you that'll be the best decision that you ever made? When we get to the place, Lord, I'm desperate. What happens when we get to Jesus? This lady, in verse 29, she heard of Jesus. There was a crowd around. But she said this. She said, if I can just but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. If I can just touch Him. You know what I'm thankful for? That we can touch Jesus. But I'm thankful that He's right with us right where we're at. That he'll meet with us where we are at. I could have gave my heart to Jesus right in the middle of that pew, right? I could have. but I felt like I needed to respond. But whether we're in the middle of a pew, whether we're at an altar, whether we're in our home, whether we're in our car, I'm thankful that Jesus will meet us right where we're at. And when we meet Jesus, see, she had heard about Jesus, but hearing wasn't enough. Hearing wasn't enough. She said, I want to touch him. And when I do, what'd she say? I will be whole. And what did it say? Verse 29, what happened when she had that encounter with Jesus? It says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Something that she had battled for 12 years. You know, and that time in my life, it wasn't 12 years, but it had been several months that the Lord was dealing with me. And when I responded, and when I allowed the Lord to come into my life and he changed me, this is a thought that I had the next day. I said, why didn't I do that earlier? Why didn't I do that sooner? Amen? Sometimes we deal with stuff a lot longer than what we have to. A lot longer than what we should. But when we touch Jesus, I want you to take note that immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she knew that she was healed of that plague. You see, that's not just a story that makes us feel good. This is a real life example of what had happened, but I want us to know that the same can happen today. That Jesus, in an instant, in a moment, can take care of something that's been plaguing us for months, for years. Amen. And sometimes we hold on. I guess it's just the way that I am. I guess there's no hope. I've heard people say that. Okay. That's not the truth. We have hope. His name is Jesus. Amen. Immediately, her plague was taken care of. What will happen when we touch Jesus? Can I say this morning, the same thing will happen? You know, I want to say this. Jesus is here. No doubt. He's right where we're at. And there are times where the Scripture records where Jesus went and touched people, and they were made whole. But what if today Jesus is here? He's done the work. He's paid the price. What he's waiting for is for us to reach out our hand. Amen? I believe some of our struggle and I believe some of our issues is because we have failed to reach out and touch the Lord. See, this lady knew she needed to touch Jesus. And when she did, she was never the same. What do we expect to happen when we encounter Jesus? I want to tell us that when we have a true encounter with Jesus, I told you that the next day I was like, why didn't I do this sooner? Man, I felt so clean and I felt so light actually. A weight had been lifted off my shoulder. But you know what? I still feel that way. I still feel, not that I haven't faced adversity, not that I haven't faced some stuff in my life, but what do we expect when we encounter Jesus? Can I be truthful? A lot of times we expect to feel better for a short time, and that, well, I guess it'll come back. But if we will expect the Lord to change us and to cleanse us. You know what? I believe, I'm a testimony. I've never been the same since that day in August 1996. I'm not gone back. Amen? What do we expect to happen when Jesus touches us or when we touch Jesus? Can I tell us what we should expect? Why don't you tell us what we should expect? To not just feel better, and we will, in this moment, and then when we walk outside these doors, or when we face the week that I don't know. Expect the Lord to completely change you from the inside out. You know what will happen? He'll do just that. Amen? How many of us want to be changed? You know what? I was reminded of the scripture. I think it's in Corinthians that talks about he changing us from glory to glory, right? He's still working on me. He's still changing me. And so I'm thankful that I'm not who I was 20-some years ago. But you know what? I'm thankful that I'm not even who I was last year. The Lord is changing me from glory to glory. Do I want to be changed? A sad indictment is that a lot of times religious people just want to be the same. I want to be like I was. I want to be like I was in 1996. I'm thankful for what the Lord did in my life in 1996. But I'm thankful that I'm not the same then. That I've grown and that I've matured in the Lord. You see, religious people will want to stay the same. But when we're in relationship with Jesus, we grow and we allow Him to change us. I want to ask this question again this morning. How many of us want to be changed? Three of us, all right. And that's not a, you say, well, I'm not saying that in a light of you need to change. Don't hear it that way, all right? But what I am saying is that we need to constantly press in. We need to constantly desire to touch Jesus, amen, and allow Him to do. I make this statement a lot in regards to, I say it a lot in regards to service, Lord, we want You to do what You want to do, right? But I was praying that this morning, but what if I had that prayer for my day-to-day life? Lord, I want You to do what You want to do. I'll be changed, amen? What mattered that day to that lady? Did it matter the doctor she went to? Did it matter the people around her? Did it matter even the issue of blood? No, none of that mattered. What really mattered was that she needed to touch Jesus. And I was reminded of the song. I don't know if it was a hymn or considered a chorus or all the same, right? But a message in it. A line in a song says, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. A line in that song says, then your life will never be the same. I want us, just for a moment this morning, I'm going to ask if Cheryl or Carrie or someone can come to the piano this morning. I want us just to block out